Well, good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure and a great blessing for me to be here. Thank you for the great opportunity that you are giving me to serve you. And very thankful to Pastor Steve Marquand and also to Pastor Nelson Berrios, the pastor of the Hispanic Church here Sunday evening. My name is Angelo Salais. I come from Mexico. I'm going to start my third and last year in the seminary, and I'm also a student in RBS, which is a great privilege for me. It was something totally unexpected, but God in His providence allowed me to receive theological training when I was attending a church in Texas. So it was kind of a spontaneous and it just came up, that opportunity, and that's how I came from Texas to California to study in the seminary. I'm going to give a brief testimony, a brief story of my life, and then I'm going to talk about the Reformed Baptist work in Mexico. And then I'm going to give some minutes if you have some questions, some comments, or if anything was not clear. I will beg you to bear my accent. If something that is not understood, I'm sorry. I'm trying to pronounce and to articulate as good as I can. But as I know that this can be sometimes difficult for you, so I'm sorry beforehand. I grew up in a Christian family. My father is now a retired Reformed Baptist pastor. He's been in the ministry for 60 years. He went from the high school to the seminary. His father was one of the pioneers in the state of Chihuahua that started the Baptist work. My grandfather and my grandmother will go to the forest, the Sierra, which is its name, to the little towns, and my grandmother was a teacher. So while my grandmother will teach all the little kids in the little towns in the Sierra, my grandfather will try to build literally a building. And then, at the same time, he will try to gather people, witnessing, evangelizing people. And eventually, two of the most important cities in the state, that's how the First Baptist Church came about. The First Baptist Church in Parral, which is the southernmost city of the state, and another city where I was born, those buildings were built by him, and it's a nice testimony because that's how God in His providence allowed for the Baptist work to start in the state. It was difficult because it was a time of the revolution, but one of the interesting and nice stories was one time when my grandparents were having some financial issues, and then my grandmother was insisting my grandfather to devote himself not only to the church but to teach some children, because he was also a teacher. But then that was kind of a temptation for him. He said that time after time, every time that they had some financial issues, my grandmother will remind my grandfather that there's the title, there's the degree, that why doesn't he make use of that title and start teaching besides preaching? One of the decisions of my grandfather was, at that moment, in a particular moment, my grandfather took that degree, took the paper, and tore it apart in front of her, and that broke her heart, And I said, well, why are you doing that? And she said, well, because I don't want anymore that you will keep me presenting this temptation for me, because I have made a commitment with the Lord that no matter what, I'm going to devote myself 100% to the church. So I am confident that God will provide, even though it is a very difficult situation right now. But every time that I see this title hanging in the wall, it's kind of a temptation for me to do this, to do it. So I better disappear that and just devote myself and remind myself of that promise that I made to the Lord. And they continued. And certainly, God was always good to them, and God provided for them all the needs that they had. And eventually, my father and also my oldest uncle, he also went to the seminary, and my oldest uncle went to pastor a church in Guadalajara, which is considered kind of the second most important city in Mexico, the second most important politically speaking. And he pastored a church for approximately 60 years in the same church. And it was kind of interesting because, well, since it is not a Reformed Baptist church, they will have some dedication of babies. But then those babies will grow up and then they will be the deacons. So a lot of stories how those babies were later, after several years, elders in the church. My uncle is now in the presence of the Lord, like 3 years ago. My father is, like I said before, is now retired, but it is also, even though he's currently active preaching at least twice a month, he's helping a church that doesn't have a pastor. He preaches there. He travels 3 hours from the city he lives, and so he still is being used by God. So that's where I had the privilege to grow in that family. I'm very thankful to them. I grow in that family, as they say here, as a PK. So it was kind of a particular and peculiar kind of environment, because I would have to wait for my father to go to the door and check the hands to the last, very last member, and then wait till the lights are off, and always devoting his life to the church, and so it was a nice life, but then it's kind of I was born on the benches of the church because all the activities, always something to do, but then I knew I grew with this expectation that since I was a PK, there was some kind of expected behavior. That since you are the son of a pastor, you should behave in a certain way. So I grew up with this mentality that knowing the good and the bad, I mean, what to do, what not to do, what is expected from you. But still, I mean, I knew, I heard that Jesus Christ was my Savior, and that he, the verses, John 3:16, all those famous verses. I began to love also the church, the activities. I remember this may be very common to sons of pastors, that when the father is gone and you are in the church, you might go to the pulpit and start kind of pretending that you are preaching. And I heard my parents in the house commenting something of some special songs and or something else, and I will try to unconsciously bring those topics to the pulpit when there was no one and say, well, that was a nice song that you sang, and that special song, but I will suggest that later try not to talk some more and just sing. And so that was kind of nonsense, but also trying, but also pretending to preach. And it was nice how God allowed me those experiences. But then when I was like 12 years, God in His providence gave me some conviction of sin, making me realize that it is not by following some rules or by following what I knew was good or right, but acknowledging that Christ was my Savior and I was a wretched man in great desperate of a salvation. That it wasn't because my father was a pastor, it wasn't because I grew up in a family always listening to sermons, it was because I was a sinner. And began to have a conviction of sin deeper and deeper and stronger. And I knew that it wasn't by doing something, but by believing in Him as my Savior, as my personal Savior. So that was kind of I eventually got converted. Sometimes I will see some testimonies that people were ex-drug addict or ex-something, and then I will say, well, I don't have that kind of interesting testimony. Because, that would be very interesting to say that I was a drug addict and then I was converted. But no, I don't have that because I eventually, like gradually, I always knowing what was right, and then it was gradually. I mean, it was not like all of a sudden a change. No, it was like more something internal that you gradually began to acknowledge and embrace, but it was not so visible as others. So it's not like I have a very shocking and past. And I mean, I'm thankful for God's providence, and He knows why and how and when. But as I began in my teenage years, I began also to have an uneasiness. I wasn't feeling comfortable to how the Christian life was being practiced or even lived. And so I was always trying to get deeper and trying to in the doctrine and that at that time. And then there were some time where I was going through some difficult time, and just because I was invited by some friends, and just because I was visiting some other churches, I went to some churches that weren't Baptist, just visiting what they're doing. And for example, one of those churches was apostolic. They don't believe in a Trinity. So there was a friend of mine that was going there, and then I started, it was very strange for me at that time, and I started teaching and talking about the Trinity, and then somehow the pastor found out about that, so they were very zealous about it. They said that Trinity, the doctrine of the Trinity is a pagan teaching. So that's completely nonsense. And they believe also in modalism, which is another heresy. But the pastor told them not to welcome me, that I was a persona non grata for them. So about some years later, I was also visiting another church, just also with some friends, which was an assembly of God. And at the same time also, I was still obviously attending the Baptist church. But then the pastor in the assembly of God, he saw me and he said, we need a teacher of youth. Why don't you help us? It would be good for us if you be teaching youth. And I said, I don't quite believe the same thing than the church. And they say, no problem. I mean, just don't talk about those issues, maybe, and that's it. Well, that's kind of a strange invitation. So I was just helping. The teacher was really the pastor's wife, so I was kind of the assistant, and it was being fun because I was just helping her. And I remember Easter was coming, and then I was studying about how many prophecies were fulfilled, all the prophecies, and then I gave a lesson about that. It was very interesting, and then other stories like Samson, David, but they were like more like fables, Aesop's. It's not like a redemptive historical, but how can I be like David, or how can I be like this person in the Old Testament? But it was kind of interesting at that time. And then I began at some time researching about doctrine, and the pastor and I, we were discussing in those days about assurance of salvation, and he was insisting that the salvation can be lost, and I said no, that's impossible, because otherwise salvation is by works and not by grace. So you didn't win the salvation, therefore you cannot lose it. It is not up to you. And the pastor was saying, well, that doesn't make sense, because what if you are like committing a sin and then Christ comes? So you are left here. So we were discussing those topics, and then I was trying to get deeper in why we as a Baptist believe in assurance salvation. And then I heard a preacher in the TV saying that if you want to get deeper and want to know why we believe in assurance salvation, there's a key term, which is doctrines of grace, which is very covered in the epistle to Romans. So for me, it was the first time that I heard the term key doctrines of grace. So that is interesting, because I have always been a Baptist and I have never heard that term. So I began to research like internet, even 1 a.m., 2 a.m. And then one thing led me to another, and then doctrine of grace, the 5 points of Calvinism, all that. And it was the first time for me. And when I was reading about that, it was kind of weird, because all what I was reading, it was a joy to read that, because I would like identify with those teachings, but I didn't know they were existing. It was like I was reading those doctrines and I would say, wow, I knew it. I knew it that they existed. I knew that kind of this doctrine existed, but I wasn't sure. It was like a dream or something. So I was very, very happy to find about the Reformed theology. And then one night, I was so delighted finding that doctrine. And I said, okay, now let's do this. And it was like 2 a.m. And I said, okay, it would be great if there would be like a Baptist church that had this doctrine. So I didn't know. It was so naive. And I said, okay, so let's see. That would be amazing. And then I said, okay, Baptist plus Reformed. So, and then, wow, they exist. I can't believe they exist. And then it was like 2 a.m., almost 3. And then I began like jumping around in the room and screaming and almost waking up my parents. I said, wow, that's great. That's great. I didn't know that. And then next morning, I was so happy, so excited. So I went to my father, and then I said to my father, you know, I found out something unbelievable. I think that we have been teaching the wrong things. And then my father had a face like, oh, it's really undescribable. Well, it was hard to describe. But it was not good. It was, what are you saying, that I talk lies? I mean, I've been a pastor for more than 50 years, and you're telling me that I don't know what I've been teaching? I said, well, you know, okay, never mind. And so I began, like, and I said to myself, I need to rephrase this because that wasn't good. So I began, like, praying and said, oh, Lord, if this is true, please give me the grace, give me the opportunity and the time to tell this to my father. And this is so different and this is grace. And I began to know a God so marvelous, so great. And it was fantastic. So God, in his grace, allowed me to know my father first, by my mother, and then my sister. And then the same time, I mean, in the beginning, it was hard, almost for everyone. And my sister told me, well, you are driving me mad. You are making me crazy, all this. I don't know what I believe in. And then he went to the stage of being angry, like, oh, everyone has betrayed me. Oh, I feel so angry with anyone. You know, calm down. It's not so like that. So, yes, so it's like going through stages. But that was how I came to Reform doctrine. And then, well, just to finish, and this list, I began calling the Reformed churches in Mexico, Reformed Baptist churches. And then I have quite a difficulty because they weren't answering, and the people that were answering were very hard to be open, to open up, because it was a time of violence in Mexico. And everyone that I would talk to them, they would say, okay, who are you? Why are you asking me this information? And who told you about us? Always the same story. I am Angelo. I found out about the doctrine of grace. I want to know more. And then finally, I talked to a pastor that is close, as another state, but close to us, and close to me, and then he told me, well, there's a same thing. He didn't even want to answer. And then the third time he answered, because they were very, like, I was, like, suspicious for them. And then he finally said to me, my brother is a pastor in a city that is 2 hours, 1 hour and a half from you, from where you live. My sister lives in the same city that you live. I'm gonna give her your phone number. So to make this story short, that sister said, okay, let me talk to my husband if this is okay. And then the husband talked to me and then said, okay, I'm not sure if this is, I mean, this is very weird, because no one calls us to know about us and go to Reformed Church, Reformed Baptist. So let me talk to my pastor and see what he says. And so finally we agreed to meet in Walmart, because that was an open space, public, in case I will do something against them. And I said to them, okay, I'm going to wear an orange fluorescent green, fluorescent shirt with a hat, so I was very visible. I mean, you don't need to be afraid of me. I am totally harmless. But I'll be there. And then when they saw me, like, they were, like, approaching, like, very slowly. Are you the one that could say, okay, all right. So this is good. This is safe. And then same thing when I went to the city where they were attending another interrogation. So it was kind of strange because it was difficult. But thanks God, I got attending the church before I came for 3 years, almost four. But the very first Sunday that I went over there, I went to the pastor and said, you know, this is great. This is totally great. Let's plant a church in the capital city of the state and let's do this. And then the pastor told me, and he didn't say anything. There was silence. And he said, you know, I'm seeing myself in you, and I'm going to tell you that the first thing that you have to do is just attend. Don't do anything. Just be a member and see how we do things and what we teach here. And I said, well, and he told me, at least 2 years. I said, 2 years? That's too much. We need to plant churches like this. We need to spread out Reformed Baptist doctrine. No. First, calm down and be a member. Don't say anything. Just watch and learn. Just watch and learn. Well, okay, that's so exasperating. So that's what I did, and I began teaching there by eventually in prison, and then I went to Texas to visit my sister, and that's how I came when the opportunity was there attending the Reformed Baptist Church in Georgetown, Texas. That's the church that I was attending. I don't know. I mean, I'll try to be brief, but I don't know if there's questions. Yes?
What kind of... Why did the pastor slow you down, thinking that, you know, you might be... That there... Was there persecution of the Baptists in your state and or across Mexico? Or what was the reason why he wanted you... He was so suspicious of you at first.
Well, first of all, because it is not usual to all of a sudden to receive someone that wasn't invited, that came on his own, totally alone. I mean, the person that I met and I came with them to the church that was one hour and a half. It seemed like they didn't even want me to be in their car. They told me, okay, do you have a car? You follow us. Okay. And so I did that because it was very strange. Because they said, well, it's very weird that you came to us without invitation. I mean, and why and how? I said, well, I just was doing a research on my own and I came to Reform Doctrine and I want to know more. I want to be a member of this church. But why? It's so strange. I don't know. I mean, would you please allow me to be there? Okay, but the pastor has to see you. We cannot tell anything to you now. But that was because in itself it was strange. And there was also violence, kidnapping some pastors.
Who does that?
Narco in that time was doing that in order to get some money from the churches. But the reason the pastor wanted me to come down on the first Sunday was not because of that, but because he was strange and he wanted me first to really know and get to know the Reformed doctrine before I would volunteer to plant a church.
Debes de ser un telenovela de tu historia, because... I mean, when you have to, and we were talking about Mexico, and they're so Catholic like we were, mm-hmm. It's so hard to even penetrate our own family. Mm-hmm. You know, they totally disown you. Mm-hmm. They don't want to talk to you anymore. They think that you're the most sinful person in the world because you've come out of the Roman Church.
Yeah.
But what you're doing and your father before you and your family, gosh... That's amazing that it is going into all of these people who are so fanatical about the Roman Church and how they really, truly don't know a Savior that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And someone that really changes your life completely.
Mm-hmm.
And that you understand that, like you said, God does it all. And we have assurance of our salvation. But truly, your story should be told all over the place. Thank you.
One question is, the most difficult thing for you had to be to introduce the doctrines of grace from a point of God's election from eternity past. How did you handle that, and what kind of pushback did you get from that?
Well, the myth of free will is always very strong because they say that they believe, I mean, that would be to think of persons as robots. So election is always a controversial topic. And commenting about what you were saying, it is true that Mexico is known as a very Catholic country, but it's also true that it's more historically Catholic. There are many people that just are like nominal Catholics. In fact, I will say that the biggest obstacle and the biggest enemy for the Reformed Baptist Church to grow and to multiply is not the Catholic Church right now, it's the Evangelical Church. That is our biggest challenge. In fact, I myself have been accused of heretic by evangelical, not by Catholic. And there was a time, for example, in Chihuahua, we have like two channels, Catholic and evangelical channel, Christian channel. And I was like zigzag those channels, and then this evangelical channel that was saying, oh, if you all send your money, God will bless you, and God will do this for you. You just have to trust that God will do that for you. And by showing your confidence in God, by sending money, that will give us a blessing to us also. Well, that's not biblical. And then I changed to the Catholic channel, and there was this priest, and he was saying, well, the reason that marriages have problems is because we have two sinners that are together. And say, well, that's more biblical. And it's a Catholic channel. It's not evangelical. So it's kind of like that. I'm not saying or justifying the Catholic doctrine. I'm just trying to describe how is the environment over there in Mexico, and the evangelical churches are growing very fast, but with a doctrine that is could be opposite to the Reformed doctrine.
Did you stay in that church for the 2 years as the pastor recommended?
Yes, I had to. I wanted to, but I mean, it was hard for me until the end, because I was, okay, can I do it now? Can I do it now? Can I do it now? So it was hard, but I did that. I'm very thankful for the pastor.
Is there any times when there's heavy persecutions against the evangelicals from the stopping preaching of the Word of God in Mexico?
Well, actually, yes. Well, yeah, there is persecution mostly in south of Mexico. Pastors are sometimes called to be, I mean, someone shouts the name of the pastor for him to come out of the house, and they have burned alive pastors. So it's a very difficult situation in south of Mexico. At the same time, last year I was trying to get into contact with the Reformed Baptist pastors. Someone of them told me that he received persecution from an evangelical pastor. Because the person that he was renting the house was a member of that evangelical church, and when that pastor found out that this another pastor embraced the Reformed Baptist theology, the missionary asked the person to kick the family out of the house. So there is persecution from evangelical to Reformed Baptist people. Not so much, but mostly in Central and South. So if there's no more questions, I'm going to finish with a prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity that you are giving us to know about how in your providence have opened the eyes in order to know you better, in order to get deeper in your truth. Thank you for all the blessings that you are giving us through the Holy Spirit. And I will pray that you will bless every moment that we are going to be here worshiping your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.